You are listening to the East Point Church Sermon Podcast. We're a church that exists to glorify God as a gospel community that is growing in faith and reaching the world. From wherever you are listening, we hope that you are encouraged and challenged by today's sermon.
All right, so good to be here. I love this sermon series that you're in, Multiply. Think about it. Multiplication is everywhere. I mean, you have vegetation, plants, trees multiply, animals multiply. God said, be fruitful and multiply. And through that, he would display his handiwork and his glory. As I use the term multiply, I just want to define how I'm using it. Multiply, increase in number by reproducing or replicating. Pretty simple. It's happening everywhere. Today I want to look at four points about multiplying. The first three will really reinforce why we need to be all about it and committed to multiplying. And then the fourth will get even more practical about how we can do that. Let me pray. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who's with us. Guide us today. Speak to our hearts. Ignite in us and align us to your purposes for each one of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. First point I want to make is this. Multiplying was God's idea to spread his glory. Multiplying was God's idea to spread his glory. God's glory, the weightiness of all that he is, his attributes, his perfection. And God is that, whether or not we acknowledge it or not, but God has graciously decided to communicate his attributes and his perfections to us through creation, through us as image bearers, through his providence, through his redemption in Christ Jesus, and through disciples that follow Jesus and the church that put him on display. From the very get-go, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28, says this, so God created man in his image, in the image of God he created them, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, what? Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. From the very start, God was going to extend his glory, spread his glory through human beings. And when human families multiply physically, God's image spreads and his glory spreads throughout the earth. Even though his image in human beings has been distorted by sin since the fall, it doesn't shine as brightly as it was intended. He still is putting his image on display through humans. But here's the beautiful thing. Despite our fall and our rebellion, God has decided to reclaim what was lost, and to restore us, and to renovate us in Jesus Christ. Just like an old piece of furniture or a house that's run down, it can be reclaimed, it can be restored, it can be renovated into something that's beautiful and really puts his glory on display. That's what God's doing in our lives. Ephesians chapter 3, Paul just talked about how God has worked in our life for three chapters, and then he just explodes in a doxology. It says this, to him, to God, be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. Through the church, through Jesus Christ, through churches centered on Jesus Christ, God's glory is being put on display. Through individual disciples who follow Jesus, who connect, In John chapter 15, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And as we connect with Jesus, he wants to bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit in our lives as we stay abiding in the vine. So it's through the church, through disciples, that God glorifies himself. So let's recap. Point number one, multiplying was God's idea to spread his glory. He does it through creation and the human family, but he also does it especially through the church and through disciples that are centered on Jesus, and his glory shines more brightly and more brilliantly, and it spreads further through reclaimed fallen people, reclaimed for God. Secondly, let's think about multiplying was modeled and mandated by Jesus himself. Jesus consistently showed compassion. He loved people. He loved the outsider. He cared for people. He was such an engaging teacher. But one of the things that often gets overlooked is Jesus was a brilliant leader. A brilliant leader. He was a visionary. He was a strategist. He had a massive vision. All nations. For all the ages. So huge. The multitudes were following Jesus. They were there. Like, he had the crowds. They were there. He has the crowds. He has a big vision. So what does Jesus do? He focuses on a few. Jesus focuses on a few. It says this in Mark chapter 1. Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. And the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." So Jesus is proclaiming. He's making disciples. He's sharing the gospel and calling people to follow him. And then he comes alongside some fishermen. And it says this. Passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." So here we have Jesus is making disciples. Then he calls people to follow him and that they will also be part of the multiplying disciple-making movement. He wants them to follow. He wants to form them, shape them. I'll help you to become. And that includes fishing. Fishing, taking the gospel to people that don't know Jesus. Well, Jesus' disciple-making movement grows, and there are more and more and more disciples, there's the crowd that don't know what the heck's going on, but then there's these disciples, and it's a growing bunch of disciples. So it says this, in these days, Luke chapter 6, he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. What does Jesus think is important enough to spend all night in prayer about? It says, and when day came, he called his disciples and he chose from them 12 whom he named apostles. Notice, Jesus called together a larger group of disciples out of which he's like, tag, you're it, you're in, you're, okay, great. Not because he's just like, oh, I'm into favoritism. Jesus knows if he's going to see a multiplying movement happen, he needs to concentrate on a smaller group of people. So he selects 12 that are going to be multiplying disciple makers that he's going to concentrate, he's going to pour himself into. Even within the 12, Jesus has the three, Peter, James, and John, that he spends more concentrated effort on. And between the 3 and the 12, he spends a disproportionate amount of his time pouring into this handful. Now, in Mark chapter 9, it says, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John. He led them to a high mountain by themselves. and he was transfigured before them. Then he took with him Peter, James, and John and became greatly distressed. One time, he takes them to the Mount of Transfiguration. Another time, they're with him in the garden, went right before he's going to be crucified, and he's wrestling with going to the cross. He's just got the three. He's pouring into the three, pouring into the 12. These weren't the only disciple makers Jesus trained. We have some names, some unnamed disciples. There's 72, it says, in Luke chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. And after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Clearly, Jesus is training disciple makers. So, what does he do? He gets these 72. It's a short-term mission. This isn't like the end of the game or right before. He's just training. So, even that 72, he breaks it down into teams of two. And he sends them out into these towns and into these places where he himself was about ready to go. So he comes alongside and he goes to those places and he further develops. So, I mean, Jesus is clearly concentrating his energies on 3, 12, 72. Jesus focused on a few to multiply. We often listen to the message of Jesus, and we should. But we also often forget the methods of Jesus. And I think this is pretty encouraging, actually, because think about this. You don't need a massive, gargantuan speaking gift or a big platform to make disciples. He's got it down to where ordinary disciples like you and I can come alongside a few people, can love people that outside of Jesus, can come alongside a few to help them to grow in their faith, and then multiply pretty simply. This is doable for us. It's encouraging to me. Jesus not only models multiplying by focusing on a few, he mandates multiplication. After Jesus was raised from the dead, he met with the 11 apostles, 12 minus Judas. And before he ascends, he gives the lasting mandate. We know this really well, right? The Great Commission. It says in Matthew 28, "And Jesus came and said, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me.'" Ooh, that pretty much covers it, right? King Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. And then he gives us a mandate to multiply. What does he say? "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." Within this mandate, what we see here is a command: make disciples. That's the imperative. And it includes making new disciples and growing faithful disciples. Teach them to obey all that I've commanded you. It's both and. It's not either or. It's both and that Jesus is all about. This is our mandate that has influence for us. Well, these texts and many others show that Jesus dreamed big, but he worked small. Multiplying was modeled by Jesus. Recap that second point. Multiplying was modeled by Jesus. He modeled it through the 3, the 12, the 72, and then Jesus mandated disciple making for us. And that's a lasting command to the end of the age. We get to get in on it as well. So we've seen so far, multiplying was God's idea to spread his glory. Multiplying was modeled and mandated by Jesus. Third, we see this: multiplying disciples and churches was the norm in Scripture. It was the norm in Scripture. Jesus ascended after he gave the commission. He sends back into heaven. He's seated at God's right hand. He's enthroned as king now and forever. And the Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit In Acts chapter 2, the new covenant church is birthed at Pentecost. And Peter, together with the 11, Judas has now been replaced, the 12 are there, and they explain that what has happened was a promise, an Old Testament covenant promise about the new covenant and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And the church has been born. And then Peter, right in the midst of Jerusalem, right to the people, eyeball to eyeball, that have crucified Christ, he proclaims the gospel. And there in Jerusalem was not only those religious leaders, but there were people from the nations, Jews that had been dispersed, that came back together, as well as God-fearers, and they were there for Pentecost. And they heard Peter proclaim the gospel. And it says this, 3,000 responded. 3,000 were added to the church that day. And man, we ought to rejoice. What a move of God. What an encouragement that the new covenant church is birthed. 3,000 are added. They become added to Jesus and that church in Jerusalem. But we often miss something. While we get sometimes too fixated on the 3,000 and we forget something, we forget that ordinary disciples like you and like me multiplied disciples. Because what happened was Jesus had poured into the 12. They made disciples, but they didn't stop there. They taught them how to make disciples, and multiplying became, and it grew exponentially. More and more disciples, more and more churches began to multiply because they became disciple makers. Exponential multiplication of disciples and churches. You know, Luke, through the book of Acts, he tells the account and he does, but every once in a while he stops for a little update. Acts chapter 6 is one of those updates, and he says this, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples did what? Multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. The word of God, the gospel was increasing, and disciples were being multiplied. And it wasn't just through a big speech by someone like Peter who probably taught in the temple courts. We know that they often gather in a larger group. It was through ordinary disciples who were sharing the gospel and making new disciples and helping them to do the same thing in their homes, in their relationships, day by day. And it wasn't just in Jerusalem. It spread out, this disciple-making movement and church-planting movement. In Judea, Samaria, Galilee, it kept spreading out. Another update by Luke, fast forward into Acts chapter 9, he pauses and he says, listen up. So the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace. It was being built up. It was being strengthened. And walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. Disciples multiplied. Churches multiplied. It was the norm. It happened during times of peace. It happened during times of persecution. But it just kept multiplying. Acts 8, love this passage, and as well as Acts 9, Acts 11. It says this, and there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. They were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Get that? We'll come back to that. Now, those who had been scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But then there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. Notice, Luke tells us, it wasn't the apostles who spread out or were scattered. It was ordinary, we don't even know their names, ordinary disciples who were making disciples. When they were scattered, they went. At first, they're speaking to Jews. Then they're like, whoa, let's share the good news with these Hellenists too. And that's how the church at Antioch was birthed. They made disciples. They clustered into the church at Antioch. Antioch became a multiplying church. We don't have time to go into it today, but Antioch multiplied disciples and churches and sent out, and they kept reproducing, multiplying disciples and churches. To recap, is the norm in Scripture, and it needs to become our norm as well today. Multiplying for God's grand mission is to become our norm today. Dr. Christopher Wright, scholar and missiologist, reminds us of this. He wrote, every local church is a missional church, or it's not really a church at all. They may be a group of religious people meeting for mutual support, but if they do not perceive the missional nature of their very existence, in essence, what they're actually there for as a church, then they've simply lost the plot, the Bible's plot. Everything a church is and does should be connected in some way to the church's purpose for existence and the people of God in the first place, which is to serve the mission of God in history for the ultimate glory of God for eternity. The church builds up one another, but it always must keep the outward-facing multiplication of disciples and churches in its radar. Which leads me to the fourth and final point I want to make today, and that is this. Multiplying is something that you can practice today. It's not only just the norm for the biblical text, it's something that we could practice today. Think about this for a sec, will you? We all see multiplication happening. If you've ever been in a restaurant, you see a veteran server, right? What do? They got to multiply new servers. So he or she has a new server or two, shadow them to the table, and they model it out. Sure, that new server may have had to memorize the menu and learn all that stuff, but you can only learn so much of that. You got to roll up your sleeves and actually do some what I would call active training. So it's kind of like I do, the veteran server, you watch. You do, I help. You help me. You do, I help. You do, I watch. I mean, this is the Jesus way. You think about that server goes out to the table. They're just shadowing. They're just watching. Then the next time or two out, what do? Okay, you take the drink order. You get the apps. Okay, great. Don't forget this. Help them do it. They do part of it. And this veteran's still kind of large and in charge and helping them to do it and all that. They get some reps in. It's like, okay, your turn. You're on point this time. I'll kind of step back and watch you and help you. I think you could do this. And they get it. They nail it. They did the apps. They did the drinks. But got the order. But oops, they forgot. How do you want your burger or your steaks done? Rare? Medium well? Well? Okay. They're like, I think we should ask them about how they want their meat done? Oh, yeah. Forgot that. Okay, good. All right, great. You did a great job. They debrief. Help. Now it's like, now they've gotten some more reps. And then the veteran server does what? You kind of see them, the new ones there. They're kind of back in the shadows watching them. They come back. They did everything right. They're high-fiving, way to go, and they're excited. Hey, this is just multiplying through active training. It's not rocket science. Why does a restaurant get it? And we as the church are like, let's just fill our heads up with so much knowledge. We've got to, at some point, we've got to use it. And we can multiply disciples. We can do this. Knowledge is important, but it's not the whole game. Jesus did active training with the 3, with the 12, with the 72. It was on the job, active training. Let's get into it. Now, he'd send them out. They'd come back and they'd be like, their motives were so jacked up. They're like, I'm going to be the greatest. And look at the power. Oh, man, I was exercising my gifts. He's like, hey, guys, just be glad your names are written in heaven. And remember, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life. Little attitude. So, yeah, there's heart development that needs to happen. He was teaching them, but he was modeling on-the-job training and showing them how to do it in very simple ways. I do, you help. I do, you watch. I do, you help. You do, I help. You do, I watch. So, think we could do some of that? I think so. What are some places and some people that this could be played out in? Because multiplying is something that you can practice. How about at home? At work, volunteers for the church and the community, multiplying relational disciple makers, church leaders, and churches. Let's think about it a little bit. At home, what does multiplying look like? Well, if you've got kids, guess what? I do, you watch. They're watching everything you do. For good or for bad, it's coming out. So, let me encourage you. Walk closely with Jesus. Be in the Word. Be in prayer. Develop your spiritual practices so that the Holy Spirit can shape you to become more like Jesus. Because it's going to ooze out in your family. And it's great. And it should. Make it natural. Just share what the Lord's teaching you. You don't have to have it all together. Just share how God's working in your life. My wife and I, when we had little kids, I mean, we just shared in the mornings, throughout the day, put them to bed at night. They don't want to go to bed, so that's a good time to read and talk to them about some stuff. Anyway, and my wife was amazing. She has a gift of mercy. She just loves people in very practical ways. She'd just bring the kids with her and as they did it, and they were catching it. They were observing her living this out. We'd have people in the home, believers, non-believers. We prayed with our kids. Hey, we want to see what God does. Let's ask God to use us in their lives of these friends here. Very natural. You know, I just heard a really encouraging, it was like a week ago, really encouraging story from some friends. They have young kids. They were sharing with me, Justin and Autumn. They've got 3 young boys. And Justin and Autumn practice spiritual practices called soap journaling, where they're just learning to be in the Word and apply it to their life in prayer. A chapter a day, pretty doable, pretty reproducible. And so they're sharing just naturally out of that. And they're like, hey, boys, time for you to give it a try. So 2 out of the 3 boys are old enough. The other one's just like, you know, out of control. That's not happening. But the 2 of them grabbed onto it. And they started doing it in their daily lives and reading the Word and praying in their simple way. And then once in a while at dinner time, they just share. Justin and Autumn share, as well as the boys, how's God been speaking to you? What are you learning? What are you doing with it? And it's just building in a very simple way to teach them how to walk with Jesus day by day, every day. Had another encouraging story from some friends. Jorge and Sarah, they really love people that don't know Jesus, people far from God. And their little daughter, Sophie, was like, I want to do that with my friends. And so she's like, talked with one of her friends, and her friend is like, I want to learn about Jesus. I'll check out the Bible. But they got these crazy lives, right? Like after school sports and clubs, and there's no time after school. So they decided, what if we, on our way riding the bus to school, we had our, like, a little Bible study and shared and learned about Jesus. Her friend's like, sure, I'll do that. And so she talks with her parents. They give her a little simple way. Sophie's friend gives her life to Christ. Then she's sharing, and her mom is like, I'm kind of interested in that too. So Sarah meets with her mom. She gives her life to Christ. And they just start meeting at Panera and helping them to form now, how do we walk with Jesus? And of course, they'll include them in the life of the church as well. Multiplying doesn't need to be complicated. It's something that we can do. And if you have kids at home, you could do this thing. Multiply at work is another great context for multiplying. I don't know what domain you are in, but we have different places where we work. Education, business, medical, healthcare, construction, wherever you work. Model your walk with Jesus. That's the main thing. Then do excellent work. Work with excellence. Work with integrity. Be a great team player. And then just love and care for people. And then each of you has a skill or has an ability that you can actually help somebody else develop in if they're interested. So empower them, coach them, mentor them in being able to do what you do. Some of you, that's part of your job description. Others of you, you can just do that informally and relationally as people see and are interested, and you can offer that. Pray for opportunities to share Christ with colleagues and clients. That's great. But I do want to remind you of this thing. Remember, your work has intrinsic value, and through it, you serve society. It's not just to evangelize. So remember that. And as you empower and as you multiply yourself through other workers to do their work better, you're actually helping God's mission to impact and help people flourish in society. So multiply at home, multiply at work, multiply volunteers for the church, for here at East Point or out in the community. Think about it. Where are you volunteering? Is it children's ministry? Is it setup, takedown? Is it in the worship and arts and tech part of things here in the church? Are you serving on a ministry team or in a community group? You're serving informally or with a particular role? You can multiply yourself out in the community. Maybe you're volunteering for the less fortunate. You don't have to do it by yourself. Just invite a friend to come be with you, shadow you to see if they catch a heartbeat for what it is you're serving in. And then just be like that veteran server in the restaurant and help them to develop into a volunteer. You can do this. Then multiply relational disciple makers. A relational disciple maker is simply this: someone who follows Jesus daily, forms a few intentionally, and fishes regularly. Not that hard. And then if you're doing that, help others do that and multiply yourself to do it. Church leaders, do you hold a leadership role at East Point? Maybe you're a ministry team leader, a community group leader, ministry staff, deacon, pastors, elders. Who's going to multiply leaders but leaders? So don't just lead alone. Share. Invite people to shadow, apprentice alongside you. Develop emerging leaders so that they can lead ministry teams and they can lead community groups, that they can lead other aspects of the ministry. And then finally, multiply churches. Man, I am just so thrilled to be able to collaborate with East Point Church. And I'm just like, I love your vision. Saturate the shore, launch campuses, plant churches. Man, that's fantastic. See the saturation of the entire shore and beyond through that multiplying at the macro level. But let me say this. That's super important. But I want to remind you, individual disciple, individual leader, you can multiply at a micro level. And God will use that as you multiply in the home, at work, as a volunteer, as a disciple maker, as a leader. What happens is East Point develops a culture of multiplication. One important aspect or two of that is new campuses and new churches, but it starts by individual disciples multiplying. You may be thinking or wondering, before I challenge you with something, I just want to recap where we've been. We've seen four things. Multiplying was God's idea to spread his glory. Multiplying was modeled and mandated by Jesus. Multiplying disciples and churches was the norm in Scripture. And friends, multiplying is something that you can practice today, in our day. But some may be thinking this, hey, Mark, I haven't even put my faith in Jesus yet and begun to follow him. Well, here's the good news. Jesus laid down his life. He paid the price, sacrificed himself on the cross to purchase you, to reclaim you, to restore you to God. And as you put your faith in Jesus and begin to follow, God will work on the renovation to make you more and more like his son and reflect his glory. Don't hesitate. Trust Christ. Follow Jesus. Others of you are believing disciples. You're like, I'm in. But my question is, are you multiplying? You're like, not sure I got what it takes. A little bit hesitant or a little bit fearful. You're wondering if you got it or not. Man, there's really big time encouragement in 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. Because what happened there is Paul exhorted his protege, often a fearful, timid Timothy. And he challenged him to multiply. But the thing I want to highlight is he said, there's a way to get strength in order to do it. And he said this to Timothy, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. If you're going to multiply and you're hesitant or fearful, you need to be strengthened by the grace. God has lavished his grace on you in Jesus Christ. You're secure. You're accepted. Embrace that grace. Let it wash over you. And then step up and multiply. Because here's what I leave you with before I pray. When Christ-centered disciples and churches multiply, God's glory shines brighter and it spreads further. So, friend, multiply. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your grace that you've lavished on us, your love and your grace that you poured out on in Jesus Christ. Everyone here that's in Christ is under your grace and set free to join you in mission. I pray, help each one of us to multiply for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
We want to thank you again for joining us for this week's sermon podcast. My name is Daniel, and I'm the music and creative pastor here at East Point Church. And if you were challenged, encouraged, or impacted in any way by this week's sermon, we would love to hear about it. It's your stories that encourage us and what we do, and we just want to celebrate what God is doing in your life. So you can go ahead and share with us at podcast@epeaston.com. Also, make sure that you subscribe to our channel to stay up to date with the latest sermons. Have a great week.